coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report for today. How many people out there, are you missing that hour of sleep this weekend? I know I am. I don't know about you, but I know I'm missing that hour of sleep. I'm looking for it. I was in my office as I watched the computer clock, and I get a kick out of this. It changes from 1:59:59 to 3 o'clock. You know, I live for that once a year. It's my life. I want to welcome everyone to the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. Websites to the truth include HagmanReportLive.com. That's where you can find our audio and video. And HagmanReport.com there for important information, articles, and such. Again, HagmanReport.com for the written word, and HagmanReportLive.com for the audios, the videos, and such. I've got a great show lined up for you today. John Moore, Liberty Man, coming back here after a brief hiatus, schedule issues on both of our ends. It's going to be good to have him back. Now, I was thinking about starting out this week and what exactly I believe would be the appropriate title or theme for this broadcast. When I woke up this morning early, I screen captured the Drudge Report, and I want you to take a look at this. That's a screen capture from, I don't know, it was from 7 o'clock this morning. Take a look at that. Now, folks, without regard to who owns or who controls the Drudge Report and, you know, what's going on there, just look at the sidebar and look at the, obviously, the larger headlines. Italy restricts a quarter of population. Travel chaos. Oil plunge. We saw that, of course. Trump rallies on pause. Question mark, obviously. And we do have information to suggest that President Trump has been exposed to somebody who's been exposed to the coronavirus at AIPAC and CPAC both. Interestingly enough. You know, the theme for this broadcast, I believe, to be chaos, panic, turmoil. But understand one thing, and this I'm borrowing from the Game of Thrones. Chaos is not a pit. Chaos is a ladder. Of course, I'm paraphrasing that from a Game of Thrones. Medical turmoil is imminent. I think we're seeing that. But I have to understand, too, panic does not help anything. All right. So now I'm looking at this. And I'm looking at the headlines. I've followed a lot of things all throughout the weekend, headlines and investigative reports and such. And there appears to be this very large disconnect as we see things play out. On one side, I suppose the headline or the dominating the headlines would be the coronavirus. So on one side, we're looking at this is the worst thing that could ever happen. All right. This is, I mean, we are in a pandemic or will be in a pandemic. This is equivalent to or on par with the Spanish flu. As a matter of fact, it could even be worse than the 1918/1920, the Spanish flu. And then that's on one side. And then on the other side is what? Nah, it's just the flu. The numbers don't match cause for alarm. The case fatality rate doesn't match cause for alarm. And I'm watching people publish and broadcast very dogmatically on both sides of the spectrum. Now, let me address very quickly before I bring John on. Let me address the people on this is just the flu. This is really nothing more. The case fatality rate is much lower. And no one should be excited about this. No one should be in a panic about this. Okay, let me address that with some imagery. This over social media and on various websites and on news. Let me just toss up a couple of photographs, or have Eric do that. Toss up a couple of photographs. Is this the flu? Is this just the flu? Take a look at image one. This is in China, spraying entire cities to fight this. All right. Is this, now take a look at that. This is happening. No one's disputing the authenticity of this. Is this just the flu? How about the second image? Or was that one and two? All right. All right. So, okay, that's one and two. That's great. Now, let's just say it doesn't matter what the event is. It doesn't matter if it's the flu or if it's really bad. I mean, if it's pandemic 1918 Spanish flu bad, or even maybe somewhere between 1968 Hong Kong flu, if you remember that. What's the impact already? Let's take a look at the next image. This would be about oil. Do you realize that today oil closed below $32 a barrel? This is what West Texas Intermediate crude. Take a look at that drop. All right. Now, you have to understand a few things. And look, I'm not an economist, but I can tell you this. When this happens, Russia gets a little bit temperamental. More than a little bit, because what's their export? What's their reliance, obviously? What's their income? It would be really tied to oil. And I'm not saying WTI oil, but WTI crude. I'm just saying oil, obviously. But when you have opening salvos in the morning, trading at, under 32 and under 30 and projected perhaps even, hey, it could go as low as 10 to 20. Well, okay. You know, people pay attention. Money talks. BS, you know what that does, right? All right. So regardless of what it is, you can see the impacts. Now, on kind of somewhat of a humorous note, leaving, we're hearing about shortages, Costco, for example, limiting the number of rolls of toilet paper one can buy, hand sanitizers, Clorox wipes. I was in Sam's last week just to see how things were going. Yeah, I didn't see any shortages, but I did talk to a individual there who said, no, you know what, we have limits. You can't buy so many. You can only buy so many of one item. And the items were the toilet paper, the sanitizing wipes, bleach, and some other things associated with the virus. So there's one enterprising individual apparently, and I don't know. I don't know who to credit this for, but take a look at this. Toilet paper, $4,000, $3,999 for a roll of toilet paper. But on the upside, you get a free 1-carat diamond ring with the purchase of that roll of toilet paper. I think that was pretty interesting. Again, you've got, you've got this level of, sometimes you have to step out and kind of just say, you know, life is going on here. We have to, you know, we're still doing business, and that's pretty interesting. But I mentioned shortages moments ago, and in putting together today's episode, I just wanted, again, today's the theme of the episode today is, barring from the Game of Thrones, is chaos isn't a pit. Chaos is a ladder. And we're seeing some things take place, not necessarily here in the United States as much as overseas. I want you to take a look at this video from Australia. This is from a news channel in Australia, I think News 4. And this is pretty consistent with incidents that are happening across some of the hotspots across the world. And I chose this particular video because I think this really, there's more than one angle to this. Go ahead and roll this video clip.
A Bankstown mother and daughter have been charged after a fight over toilet paper in Woolworths. The vision of the shoppers arguing with another woman went viral as supermarkets impose new purchase limits to curb coronavirus hysteria.
The fight over toilet paper that went viral around the world.
I just want one pack. No, not one pack.
Now the 60-year-old mother and her 23-year-old daughter, who were wheeling a trolley full of rolls at Woolworths Chullora, have been charged with a fray and are due in court next month.
I cannot understand the logic. Okay. We have a big factory
you can
in Penrith.
Cut that short. What does that tell you? All of these years, I think most people who listen to this program, and I think most of you out there have realized that, you know, we need to be prepared. Preparation prevents panic. Now, I can tell you this. No one here got into any brawls over any needed supplies, and that would include Clorox wipes or toilet paper or whatever. Now, is that am I saying, well, you know, how great we are? No. It's just a matter of preparation because, you know, one of the areas that we have been attacked on is selling fear porn and doom and gloom, doomsday merchandise. Oh, I love that phrase. I love that. Doomsday merchandise. But see, to the people who think that I'm responding to trolls or people who would put comments, no, I'm not. No, I'm talking about people who want to shut us down legally through legal processes, citing the fact that we are fake news and we're spreading fear. What you saw there was panic based on fear. That's what we've been trying to prevent to our listening audience and to everyone who listens and watches this program. That. Preparation prevents panic. That's panic. Now, look, I'm not the woman with the whole trolley, as they say, full of toilet paper. Okay. You know, and the other person wants one. I'm not going to get into that. But see, we are looking at a situation where preparation prevents panic. And we have been And we are in the process. I mean, the people are trying to take this program off the air through means of wearing us down, through litigation, through means of harassment, through just a number of ways. It's not, and I'm not responding to trolls. I'm not responding to stupid comments. I'm not responding to emails. I'm responding to direct attacks on this platform. This is, and again, the bottom line here is whether this is it or in terms of the precipitating event that leads to a medical martial law situation or quarantines as we see in Italy presently or as we see in China, regardless whether this is actually a legitimately, you know, holy moly 1918 level event. I don't know. I don't know. End of story. I don't know. Because I can guarantee you one thing. Governments lie. You know that and I know that. Even the CDC and WHO, they lie. They may seem to have altruistic reasons for lying. Hey, let's prevent panic. Nothing you can do about it anyway. Well, certainly there is. But remember this. Chaos is not a pit. Chaos is a ladder. What better way to bring into the mix and think about this, take over the healthcare system. What Obamacare failed to do, maybe this particular perception of the panic or perception of the pandemic or perception of this virus, maybe that'll get the job done. Maybe it's chaos. Maybe chaos and turmoil. Maybe that's the objective here. And I could get into many, many, many things like the self-quarantine failures. The again, the Reuters had an article about global markets, Asian shares slide as coronavirus panic grips, oil prices plunge. And you saw the video, or you saw the pictures about just the flu, huh? You know, self-quarantine failures, like I said, you know, people entrusted, hey, stay at home if you've been exposed and you're, you know, and they don't do that. In fact, the father of a woman diagnosed with coronavirus attended school function against orders of health officials to isolate. Zero Hedge, a Beijing hospital confirms COVID-19 attacks central nervous system. All of these articles, look, the divergence of information on both sides. I've got to say this. Somebody is lying. I won't even give them the opportunity to say someone is mistaken. I'm going to say someone is lying. All right. You saw the Australian news video. And, there, you know, there's other news too. There's other news as well. Before I get it to John, I want to thank my friends at Lightstream. My friends at Lightstream have done so much to help a lot of people that I know. Lightstream, folks, listen to this. If you've got, if you're like most of us, you carry a balance on your credit cards, and if those cards come with high interest rates, you need my friends at Lightstream. I want to tell you a couple of testimonials, or I want to tell you that I've received numerous testimonials. One in particular, I heard about Lightstream on a podcast and was able to look on the website and get clear information. The application process was quick and easy. Another one, I heard a commercial, checked into a consolidation loan, and just a few hours later had my approval and funds ready to be transferred. Awesome. It's easy. It's so easy to lower your interest rate and save with a Lightstream credit card consolidation loan. Get a rate as low as 5.95% APR with auto pay. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and there are absolutely no fees, and you can even get your money as soon as the same day you apply. Folks, here's what you need to do. Apply today to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this special discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagman. I'm going to spell it out for you. It's LightStream, lightstream.com/Hagman, and two N's on Hagman. I have to tell you that subject to credit approval, rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. Helping a lot of people, and I want to thank them for being a corporate sponsor of ours. And I want to thank you folks as well. As we enter this week of uncertainty, and I think this divergence and convergence in various different manners and ways, we're going to see things happen this week in a number of ways, a number of things, a number of areas. But I want to thank you for your support. I want to thank you for your words of kind words. And I want to thank you for standing with us as we enter into this period of uncertainty. With that, I want to bring the Liberty Man, John Moore. John Moore is perhaps one of the not only is he known as the Liberty Man, I'd like to call him the Evidence Man. Folks, you can go to the Liberty Man, his website, and you can listen to his broadcast. You can read current events. But I call him the Evidence Man, too. And I think that's well-deserved, the Evidence Man. And I want to thank him for his patience as I went through the beginning of the open of this show. I want to thank him for his patience, and also for his patience as he traveled a little bit, and then I was out for, you know, down, you know, out for a while. And I want to thank him, but I'll tell you something, John Moore, he's got the information that we need, and he's got a very, very, again, evidence-based analysis on pretty much everything that we discussed. John, thank you so very much for your patience today. Thank you so much for your patience in the larger sense. And I appreciate you coming on.
Dave, Doug, thank you. Appreciate that. Good to be here with you. And, of course, the topic you picked is the topic of the day for many people. And let's begin from the beginning, which is China, more properly called the People's Republic of China. And we need to keep that in mind, the People's Republic of China, who the leadership is, what the goals of the People's Republic of China is, and what they will do to accomplish their goals. We always hear how horrible Adolf Hitler was, who probably murdered 6 to 10 million people, maybe. Joe Stalin, easily 2 to 3 times that many. And ring the bell, please, Mao Zedong, who probably murdered 50 million plus of his own people to accomplish his goals. Now, the sons and daughters of the men who did that 70 years ago are still running the country. And what is their goal now? To be the military, economic, cultural leaders of the planet. That's their goal right now. What will they do to achieve that goal? That's the question. If bringing down the U.S. economy helps them achieve that goal at the cost of some of the lives of their own people, they've already demonstrated they'll do that, Doug. That's their track record. The videos coming out of China could easily be fabricated in order to achieve that goal. Well, we can come back to that. Let's go on to two other places, Italy and Iran. I was using the services of a female barber for a couple of years, and she told me, John, I have an Italian heritage. My grandfather immigrated from Italy. I'm going to visit Italy. And I asked her, do you really want to do that? Do you know that's a third world country? Oh, I want to go. It's going to be great. And I said, well, God bless you. She comes back. She says, John, I'm sick. And I said, well, what was it like over there? She says, I went to some pretty nice restaurants, and dogs were walking freely through the restaurants, defecating on the floor, and it was just normal. Nobody thought a thing about it. My hotel room, which was a pretty nice hotel room, did not have hot water all the time, and I rarely had ice because the electricity didn't work all the time. Now, under those conditions, Doug, do you think there might just be some issues with sanitation for the whole country? Of course.
Yeah.
Now, let's move on to Iran. The entire country, with few exceptions, does not use toilet paper and does not use soap because Muhammad did not use toilet paper and did not use soap. Do you think there might just be some issues with sanitation there, Doug? Just kind of maybe?
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe, yeah. Those are the two countries that we are hearing have the worst issues outside of China right now. And we're also hearing China is already recovering from this flu virus. Now, you always hear the United States has the best healthcare system in the world, right? Right, Doug? We hear
sure.
that all the time?
Yeah.
Okay. Then how in the world do 42 countries have a longer lifespan than the United States, none of which spend anywhere nearly as much as we do per person on health care? Something's really broken there, and I'm quoting from the CIA, by the way. The CIA has very good analysts that keep track of such things, and I just looked it up a few minutes ago. 42 countries have a longer lifespan than the United States. Now, you mentioned me as being a man of evidence, and I've lived my entire life dealing with evidence, not speculation, evidence. The evidence we've seen so far of the people dying is the following. People with underlying health conditions. Now, who would that be? People with COPD, diabetes, dialysis. People who have had or are currently having chemotherapy. People with heart issues. People who have had organ transplants. Now, Doug, we're talking about a big chunk of the adults in this country at risk of dying from any flu, any time. And that's what happens. People with those underlying health conditions, they die from the flu. 8 people dying of this coronavirus in a nursing home in Washington State. That's not news. People die of the flu in nursing homes every day of the week all over this country. In fact, the quote I've been using last couple of weeks since I was on your show There's three questions, Doug, and this is a weekly average of every year. And here's the three questions, Doug. How many people in the United States died from the flu last week? How many people will die from the flu in the United States this week? And how many people will die from the flu in the United States next week? Same answer, a yearly, weekly average. 700. Doug, it's not news. Why is it not news? Because news has to be something unique, something special, something out of the ordinary. Dog bites man is not news. Man bites dogs, yeah, that's news. Four people die in an automobile accident down the street from you, that's not national news. Four people die in a small aircraft anywhere in the country, that's national news.
Right.
People dying from the flu is not news, but they've made it news. The mass media has made it outrageous news, as if people dying from the flu who already have underlying health conditions, they've made it into something it's not. I've not yet seen a report of a healthy adult with no underlying health conditions dying of this flu. Have you, Doug?
I don't know any. No, I have not.
I've got two. One man I'm working with, he has a PhD in chemistry, very bright guy.
Right.
He's on top of this. Another researcher I'm working with, she's on top of this. And I've given them instructions, very strict instructions. I want to know reports of healthy adults with no underlying health conditions dying from this flu. And I gave them those instructions a week ago. And so far, they have not found any reports of that nature.
Okay, John, I'm there with you on this. But how do you comport the response, the reaction by the government, whether it's Italy or even, you know, on a county level and state level here in the U.S., with what you just said? If it's just the flu, what's up with the response?
Okay, well, here's what's up. You and I, in our professional careers, have dealt with bureaucrats all our lives.
Yeah.
And if your career, your paycheck, and your pension just depends on how you respond, you're going to respond in a way that can cause no harm to your career, your paycheck, or your pension. And that's how and why people in these positions are responding. They're responding in a way that can cause no harm. It's the kind of response that attorneys would recommend. Attorneys give advice where no harm can possibly come to their client.
Right.
Which is why leasing a 500 square foot office requires a 20 page document to lease a 500 square foot office.
Which is ridiculous in and of itself, but yes.
It is.
Yeah.
But that's an example of something you and I have dealt with all our lives.
Absolutely.
And the response you're seeing from these bureaucrats, people who work for the government, they're giving the response that will make sure that no harm can come to their career, their paycheck, or their pension. And nobody can criticize them because they didn't do enough. They won't be criticized for doing too much. They'll be criticized for doing too little. So they're making sure that their response is one that can carry with it no criticism that will stand up to scrutiny.
Okay. All right. So that's, and I understand that. However, now, on the other side of things, I'm looking at this, John. I'm looking at this virus, and if I am to believe what I'm being told, and I'm not a virologist, I'm not a infectious disease doctor. But this is something a little bit different. It's got two different strains. It's got a mutation. It's got an HIV SARS delivery system in it.
Here's what all those things mean, Doug.
Go ahead.
It means, first of all, it's probably been weaponized. It doesn't mean you're going to die any more quickly or any more sooner or any more easily than any other flu. What it means is it's more easily transmitted, and you're more likely to get it. And the people I just listed, with all those underlying conditions, are more likely to get this flu than any other flu because of the ability of this flu to live on a hard, cold surface much, much longer than regular flu and to have a much longer incubation period than a normal flu. It doesn't mean anything else than that. Now, the people I listed,
right.
People with COPD, diabetes, dialysis, chemotherapy, heart issues, organ transplant people, those people get the flu, they die. And it's a big chunk of our, we have people living today that 40, 50 years ago would never be alive, Doug, because of the ability of modern medical technology to keep, there was no dialysis 50 years ago, those people just died. That's what they did. Now they're alive, but they have a compromised immune system. What's the percentage of people on dialysis? What is it, 1% or 2%? I don't know.
I'm not sure.
But those people get the flu, they die.
Right.
People who would not be alive 50 years ago. There was no people with organ transplants 50 years ago. Those people would die if they get the flu. People with chemotherapy. There was no chemotherapy 50 years ago, not in the way it exists now. If you take chemotherapy, it destroys your immune system.
Yes, it does.
It does. If you get the flu, you die. Now, all the things you listed are clearly characteristics of a weaponized virus. Now,
right.
All viruses mutate. When viruses get inside, they have a happy home. It's a your body is a 5-star hotel with 3 meals a day and maid service. And the virus loves it, and it mutates. That's what viruses do.
Right.
Once it gets inside your happy home, your body. That's what all viruses do all the time. That's nothing unusual. That's expected. But the media is blowing this out of proportion. They're making this weaponized flu to be something that it's not. If you're a healthy adult with no underlying health conditions, you're not going to die from it. You'll get sick like you would from any flu, then you recover.
All right. So let's stipulate that you're correct that this is nothing to really be concerned about, except if you've... Go ahead.
Your listeners, let's look at your demographics. Your demographics are probably similar to mine. Mostly Caucasian male and men and women over age 50. That's my demographics. It's probably your demographics.
Our primary base, yeah.
Now, how many of those people take one or more pharmaceutical products, prescription pharmaceutical products every day?
Good point.
Probably over half.
Yep.
Probably over half. Now, excluding pain medications, excluding psychotropic drugs, which is a percentage of that, that means a big percentage of your listeners and my listeners are at risk because they have a compromised immune system. Now, that's true of all flus all the time, not just this flu. That's true of all flus all the time. And they're more likely to get it because of the reasons we just outlined. It can live longer on a cold, hard surface, and the incubation period is far longer.
Right.
So I'm not saying it's not dangerous. I'm saying the people at risk are the people that are always at risk from all flus all the time. The media, however, is making this out to be more virulent, more deadly than other flus. It is more easy to catch. But I've seen no evidence yet that it kills people other than the people who die from the flu normally, which is
right.
700 people last week, 700 people this week, and 700 people next week, Doug.
Right. And hell, there's more people died in shootings in Chicago than from this. I get that. So, but if this has been, if this is being weaponized and exploited to the very class of people or very, demographic that you cited, what's the objective here? And I think that maybe this might have the answer to, let's speculate.
The objective is to cause fear, which destroys our economy. It is very likely to do that. That's the direction it's going right now. If the People's Republic of China weaponized this and released it with the intent to harm our economy, they probably will achieve their goal. Very likely they will. That's the direction it's headed. The stock market is in a nosedive.
Yep.
The stock market is not the economy. It's reflective of the ability of our business to raise money is what the stock market is. People buy stocks and that turns into capital to do capital investments. Our economy can survive this, I believe, but it will harm us and there will be a recovery. The media is making it far worse than it really is. The people who go to work every day typically are fairly healthy adults. There's exceptions, of course. But the people who go to work Monday through Fridays and others, they typically have pretty robust health. Not always, but pretty robust health. And typically when they get sick, they're sick for a day or two or a week, and then they recover and go back to work. The media, however, is making this to be far worse than it really is, Doug.
Okay, then let me ask this then. What I showed at the beginning were depictions of the Chinese spraying Lord knows what across the streets and across buildings and such. Now that's, again, that's communist China. I get that. But we're seeing things like that, in Western countries. That's not the media doing that. That's the bureaucrats doing that. And I know that goes back to you saying, well, you know, if you're a politician, you're going to do, everything perceivably correct. But my question is, they don't do this for the flu, the quote normal end quote flu. So what the hell? I mean, this isn't the media. And help me understand this, John. I mean, just you and I sitting in a conference room in an investigative building. So, I mean, what the hell?
People in these positions of power, they're human beings also. They're subject to the emotions of human beings. They're subject to going home to their wives and husbands and reporting what they did during their work day. And they make decisions based on emotion like any other person. And the media-driven hysteria is affecting people making decisions. I can go back to something that you and I observed back in the 70s, where TVs and movie shows convinced police chiefs and police board of commissioners to convert over from revolvers to semi-automatic pistols that they've been using for a century.
Yep.
There was no real reason for police departments to use semi-automatic pistols other than the media-driven popularity of semi-automatic pistols, which are not as safe and not as accurate for most marksmen most of the time. So I just use that as an example of the media changing the decisions of otherwise men and women who really had no reason to make a change to go from semi-automatic pistols, from revolvers to semi-automatic pistols. Media can change things. It can. It can cause people, decision makers, to make decisions that they would not make otherwise. And I believe that's what's happening here. These images coming out of China are really scary. People being dead in the streets.
Yep.
Apartment buildings being welded, the doors being welded shut.
Yeah.
That's about as scary as it gets.
Yep.
Now, did they weld shut the windows so people couldn't escape through windows? They didn't show that, did they? I believe the answer to your question is these decisions are being driven by decision makers based on media-driven hysteria.
Do you think President Trump, and this calls for speculation, this calls for armchair quarterbacking, you think he's handling this appropriately? I mean, the Senate just passed an $8.3 billion emergency coronavirus package, which was sent to President Trump's desk. This is last week. I mean, is President Trump handling this the way you think?
I believe he is. Democrats, of course, if they can weaponize the virus against the president, they will do so. They've already attempted to do so.
That's right.
Initially saying he was doing too much, then saying he was doing too little, and then approving the package you described. And, of course, the president's going to take the money and run with it and do whatever can be done. So I believe the president's response is appropriate and measured and appropriate for what's really going on. I do believe that, yes.
It's amazing to me, by the way, just a kind of a observation. They can find this money, yet they can't find money to fund the border wall, the southern border wall, which, you know, it amazes me too. You know, the people who are saying, you can't lock down, or people who are saying to, you know, for example, a Kirkland Medical Center. You should have locked down Kirkland. You should have done it a long time before you did. You should have locked down this county or that location. It's amazing the various things people are saying. Well, you can't possibly close the border. You can't possibly allocate funding for the border wall. They talk out both sides of their mouth. So this is, I believe, being exploited every which way to be used against a free society, against the conservative Republic of the United States, and specifically against this president and you and I. That's what I believe.
Well, I agree with you. And going back to the example of the People's Republic of China, they publicly state that they're already in a recovery phase where the virus is not spreading like it was. People are going back to work. So they went through a period of, 6 to 8 weeks of dealing with this, and they claim to be in a recovery phase already. In the meantime, the hysteria in the West is just getting ramped up.
Right.
The hysteria in the West is adversely affecting markets, causing panic buying, and causing people to cancel events. I went to a church yesterday morning, and the part of the church service where people would turn around and greet their neighbors and shake hands was changed to don't shake hands, just wave and smile. And the door of the church was propped open, so you didn't have to touch a handle. That's a minor thing. The school district next to my daughter's school district has canceled all athletic events for the rest of that season, the last 2 weeks of the wrestling season. All they had to do was cancel spectators and let the students who are together all day, every day anyway, go in and have their event. But they did what would be called the conservative thing and canceled the entire event rather than just eliminate spectators. We're seeing this all over the country. The cruise industry is going to go through some hard times for the next 2 to 3 months. That's expected, considered the publicity, negative publicity to the cruise industry. My own cruise, there were extra precautions, extra questions being answered before I got on the boat. And that was the right thing to do.
How was that? I want to live vicariously through you, John. How was that cruise?
Well, it was my first cruise, and I couldn't call a vacation since I worked 6 hours a day, 2-hour radio show, and 4 hours with my guests. But there's 20 restaurants on the cruise boat, lots of sunshine, fresh air. The people that went with me were just an absolute delight getting to know them and spend time with them. And we're already scheduling the next two cruises, February of 2021 for Caribbean, June of 2021 for Alaska, and it'll be a lot of fun to do these cruises.
Well, if I'm not dead by then from the coronavirus, I'm going to join you.
And it was a good time for me to think and plan away from the normal distractions I have being at home. So I was able to have some planning sessions privately with myself and some of my advisors on the telephone, and it was all around a very good week, and I learned a lot.
That's great. When you say I learned a lot, I love that, because this is what I find. I find that I can learn a lot from the people who listen and watch, you know, this platform. And if you listen to these people, you can learn much. And I know that you do as well. You do that very well. So thank you for that. But, okay. So, getting back to this coronavirus. I mean, we're hearing now, one thing I guess maybe I should point out, you know, we're hearing that, the New York, the head of the Port Authority, Rick Cotton in New York's got the coronavirus or has coronavirus. But one thing that we're not hearing much about except in the, terminal circumstances is the resolution. You know, these are unresolved cases, like Cotton and others, even Cruz, self-quarantine, out of abundance of caution. But we're not hearing about the unresolved cases. And you point this out because statistically that matters.
So, right now, the New York Port Authority is doing what, sir?
It was announced today. This was in the New York Post this morning that the head of the Port Authority, Rick Cotton, has contracted the coronavirus. And this guy was visiting local airports and other transit facilities. He said, hey, I've got this, or he was diagnosed with it. But we're not hearing about, I mean, we're hearing about this, and we're hearing about the deaths, but we're not hearing about the resolutions of those in between, I guess.
Well, Mr. Cotton, in all likelihood, unless he has one of the underlying conditions we've already discussed, he'll be sick with the flu for a few days. He'll stay hydrated, probably have the usual flu symptoms people have. And then in 7 to 10 days, he'll probably be back at work. Right now it's news. When the man recovers, goes back to work, it won't be news.
No.
That's the nature of what we're dealing with here.
And you know, while we're talking about this, and a lot of media sites are just focusing in on this. I think the impact from this, regardless of what it is, this could be, oh, I don't know. You pick an event, but it's the impact. It's the, as you pointed out, it's the way the media has portrayed this. But while we're talking about this, it's pretty interesting one of the most consequential stories that we haven't really discussed is the oil price war between Saudi Arabia and Russia. And I mentioned this earlier. Saudi Arabia has decided to increase its production, slash its prices. And you know what that does to Russia? Russia is not going along with OPEC quotas designed to prop up the price of oil. So we have situations developing everywhere else, and we're not paying attention to this at the expense of, well, our potential future. I don't know. It's, you know, we're seeing a lot of stories develop in the background. So.
Well, we are, Doug. And Russia's main export that I'm aware of is oil. I mean, I've not seen a Russian-built automobile or pickup truck or motorcycle or airplane for sale anytime recently. Manufacturing is what separates third world countries from first world countries. And what does Russia manufacture that anybody wants to buy? So they're stuck with oil and gold. They also mine a lot of gold.
Mm-hmm.
So sure, their economy is at great risk. When the perceived demand for oil goes down, the price goes down. And that's a given. Of course it will. Getting back to the topic at hand.
Sure, go ahead. Yes.
It's media-driven hysteria. Now, eight people dying in a nursing home in Washington State last week from the flu is national news.
Right.
700 people dying from flu last week all over the country is not news. Now, that tells me all I need to know. That they're pumping up this flu as being special flu, as being more deadly flu than the flu that kills 700 people in this country every week of every year. Now, in the wintertime, that's a yearly average. In the wintertime, it's going to be quite a bit more. In the summertime, it'll be quite a few less. And typically, older people in nursing homes, they get the flu, they get pneumonia, and they die. Now, it may sound callous to talk about it that way, but that's reality. Reality is 700 people a week die from the flu every week of every year in this country, and it's not news. It's normal. It's not reported as anything at all because it's normal. It's important to the loved ones they leave behind and to the people themselves that die, but it's not newsworthy. It's normal. This virus has an exotic name, the coronavirus. It has a lot of media attention, initially driven out of China. And we simply don't know, Doug, if these videos coming out of China are authentic or if they've been contrived and produced by the People's Republic of China to drive the hysteria that we're now experiencing so that China can gain an economic advantage worldwide, which is what they want. They want to be, and this is their century, by the way, in case you don't know it, Doug. We hear a lot about racism. Doug, you don't know what racism is to being around Chinese people. They know they're the most attractive, the most athletic, the most intelligent, the most productive people on the planet. And don't try to tell them otherwise. They know that. That's their life. I mean, that's their reality is what I mean to say.
All right.
That's their reality. And they know the 21st century is their century. I know a gentleman running a restaurant in Metro St. Louis. He's from Zambia. His parents and siblings are still in Zambia. And we talked at length about the Chinese colonization of Central Africa, which is extensive. The Chinese People's Republic of China is building roads, dams, hydroelectric plants, airports, water treatment plants, sewage treatment plants, hospitals, power generating, and a power grid, and a cell phone network. They're colonizing Central Africa for their own purposes right now as we speak. In fact, they've built a highway going from the Hindu Kush, which is the mountains between Afghanistan and China, going all the way across to Africa. That highway's already been built, and it's in operation right now, Doug.
Is this the Silk Road 2?
It is.
Okay.
It began in the late 1950s as a United Nations project. It's complete, and the only traffic allowed is Chinese traffic. Nobody else is allowed on that highway, by the way.
Well, no. That's pretty inclusive, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. All right. So, and I have to agree with you in terms of the racist component. Now, I haven't experienced firsthand. I have not experienced that firsthand, but I know what you're talking about. I'm just, okay. So all of this said,
look at the source. You know, whenever you and I are conducting an investigation, Doug, we always look at the source.
Right.
And the source for what got this going is the People's Republic of China. People want to call it China. No, it's the People's Republic of China.
Communist China, Chi-Coms.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Precisely.
Oh, okay.
The source color is everything.
That's true.
That's the beginning point. There's no objective third-party analysis of those videos. None. It does not exist. There's no objective third-party analysis of those videos. It's all coming directly from the People's Republic of China, and we don't know who made them. We don't know if they're authentic. We simply don't know that. We know they're really scary images. They are very scary images.
What about the images coming from and videos coming from Italy and from, to a lesser extent, Iran, but specifically Italy, where, you know, a third of the population there has been quarantined? What about those
images? They have. And look at the beginning point from that. Everything has a beginning point. The beginning point for what's going on in Italy is the videos coming out of China, the People's Republic of China. We have, and of course, Italy is a socialist country. I wouldn't go so far as to call them communist, but they're right at the edge.
A second world country, yeah.
Socialist country.
Yeah.
And we have decision makers there making decisions based on the same hysteria that initially came out of China.
All right. Well, one video or one Twitter tweet I saw, it was a video tweet of a guy in Italy, and I can't authenticate the veracity of this tweet, but in fact, Eric the Tech, I might have even sent it to you. He's in his apartment saying, you know what, I've been in here on lockdown with my sister who's been dead for the last 24 hours, and, you know, no one's coming in or out, no one's helping. Anyway, I just...
Well, that's a tragedy on the face of it.
Right.
For the authorities not to recover the corpse of this deceased woman is unconscionable. And that's a very unfortunate circumstance for any number of reasons.
Could this be... Yeah. John, I didn't mean to over-talk you, but could this be designed... You know how Obama went after our healthcare system back in 2008. Suddenly we have Obamacare. Could this be an attempt to both take over our healthcare system here in the West, as well as deliver a fatal blow to our economy, and even have the unintended or intended consequence of taking out the bad orange man, President Trump, and the capitalist society, and elevate people like Bernie Sanders, healthcare for all, Medicare for all. My goodness, could all this be part of this?
Well, it could be. That possibility exists. the things already said by the Democratic leadership would lead one to come to that conclusion already. Public statements by senators and congressmen that initially that President Trump was not doing enough, and then, or doing too much, I should say, initially, and then that later that he wasn't doing enough by only requesting $2 billion. So we've already seen the beginnings of that.
Yeah.
So I refer to our opposition as the Socialists, Communists, Democrats, Muslims, because that is the coalition. And so we've already seen that raise its ugly head, and we will continue to, Doug, to use this flu virus as a weapon against the president. Of course they will.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm looking at this and from different angles, and I watched a couple of forums who have grown to these huge number of postings. And I mean, every time there's a bit of news about this, somebody posts on this particular forum, and you could tell these people live and just monitor all of this every day. And
you're being polite. Tell they don't have a life. You mean.
Well, yeah, and you know, look, I think that a lot of people like that. I think they do it to keep informed, you know, I think, or at least try. But, man, I'll tell you can see some mental meltdowns. I mean, it's bad. People are losing their minds.
Emotions can get carried away with us, and that I've seen that. You've seen it.
Yeah.
Of course. A lot of what we're seeing is emotion-driven, and people who get carried – when they hear the term weaponized, their brain immediately goes to – some of these Hollywood productions where you catch this flu and you're dead in 24 hours or
zombies.
Maybe hours.
Yeah.
It's not what's happening. It's not what's happening. People are catching this virus and they are dying. And ones I've seen have been so far mid to late 80s with underlying health conditions. Other than that, I've seen raw numbers presented for these deaths, but not any details on underlying health conditions. And if you listen carefully to these high-level healthcare professionals in our federal government, you'll hear them talk about those at risk. And that's children under age one, whose immune systems have not been developed yet, and adults over age 80, and sometimes over age 60, anybody with underlying health conditions. They're the ones at risk.
Right. Yeah, and that I've seen, of course. My guest, John Moore, as we approach the top of the hour break. John Moore, the Liberty Man, libertyman.com, the evidence man, I like to say as well. John Moore, and go to thelibertyman.com. Folks, as I always say, the link will be in the program description box, not on YouTube, not on Spreaker, but at HagmanReportLive.com. And right back, stay right where you're at.
Reporting on what the mainstream media won't, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
Thank you.
Exposing the New World Order, you're listening to the Hagman & Hagman Report on the Global...
Always catching me reaching over there. I'd like to grab my coffee. Hagman's store. HagmanStore.com. HagmanStore.com. Folks, HagmanStore.com. Go there. Buy coffee. Simple as that. It's gourmet coffee. It's 10% off. Because, you know, there is a supply chain threat. Regardless of what it is, you're tired of hearing me say that, but regardless of what, this virus, there's a supply chain or potential supply chain disruptions. We want to make sure that you get your coffee. So we ordered more actually. So to keep the supply going. So go to HagmanStore.com, get your coffee. I'm telling you right now, gourmet style coffee, but more importantly, the proceeds go to legitimate, organizations who fight child and human sex trafficking. And that's organizations like Russ Dizdar, Shatter the Darkness, and Craig Sawyer. While you're there, grab yourself a coffee mug. Why not? And hey, Eric did a great job on a new t-shirt. I don't know if it's up there yet. Did you put it up there, Eric the Tech, the new t-shirt? Not yet? All right, wait till you see it. It's really, it'll be up tomorrow, he said. So that's pretty cool. And I want to thank my friend, Michael Terrell from, Whole Tones. I'm going to tell you something. Michael has done so much. You know, we had talked, when he was on, we talked about the healing properties of frequency. And people might say, well, that's just woo-woo stuff. No, it's not. It's based in biblical knowledge. It's based in the music of King David. You know, humans, me, you, people walking upright, you know, look, we need our sleep. And I'm going to tell you right now, studies show that most of us aren't getting enough sleep. 70% of Americans are suffering from lack of sleep. Are you one of us? I bet you are. So whether it's difficulty in falling asleep or staying asleep or tossing and turning all night, you wake up feeling like you've been through a blender. I know that feeling. Almost no one is immune. And you know something? This is so true. Lack of sleep can cause high blood pressure, weight gain, diabetes, stroke, and ultimately even, you know, 10 toes up, right? And I'm serious. You can learn now about the amazing new sleep solution that Women's World Magazine featured as the lullaby music proven to work better than a sleep med. And go to Reader's Digest too. Reader's Digest named one of 53 products that will dramatically improve your life in 2020. And that's, I'm talking about Whole Tones, of course. Whole Tones to Sleep is guaranteed to help you fall asleep faster, stay asleep longer, and wake up refreshed. I know my grandson Joseph falls asleep to Whole Tones. I mean, it's like, man, it's like instantly. And you know what else? Lady the Studio Dog. I am telling you right now, before she'd watch the relaxation on the dog channel, she'd actually watch that. And yeah, she'd be tossing and turning. She'd move from one part of the bed to the other. Whole Tones. Michael sold over 200,000 CDs of Whole Tones for Dogs, even placing at number one on the Billboard charts. Lady the Studio Dog just reacts incredibly well to Whole Tones. Folks, whether it's for your best furry friend or whether it's for yourself or for that loved one, go to WholeTones.com. That's WholeTones.com. One more time, WholeTones.com. Use the promo code Hagman, H-A-G-M-A-N-N, to get $10 off of your order. What a great buy. WholeTones.com, promo code Hagman. Now, my guest is John Moore, and I shouldn't say guest. He's a good friend. He's a friend. He's a knowledgeable guy. He's known as the Liberty Man in radio circles, but I call him the Evidence Man, and I do. And you know something? Suspicion is not proof. Remember that. And documentation necessarily does not constitute evidence. There's distinctions. And we're talking, when we're looking at evidence, we have to look at it with a critical eye. And, you know, there's been an evolution, I think, that we've experienced. When I say we, I'm talking collectively. But when you're looking at things like the coronavirus, the novel coronavirus or COVID-19. Yes, we know that we have certain aspects that we can verify, that we know what we know, but there's a lot that we don't know. And a lot of people, frankly, are throwing a lot out as evidence when it's nothing of the sort. On both sides, it's just the flu. You don't have evidence for that. Or it's pandemic 1918. You don't have evidence for that either. Okay, evidence. The balance, the weight of evidence is so important, and that's John Moore. And I'm so glad to have him. TheLibertyMan.com, TheLibertyMan.com, that's his website. By the way, you can listen to him every single day. He's got one of the best, if not the best radio shows out there on RBN. You can listen live by way of his website. There it is right there on your screen. And the structure of his show, I like that. I like the cadence. I like the information. I like the people. I like the presentation. So there it is. And listen to him every day. That's thelibertyman.com. And I thank him for his gracious gift of time. I know we had some issues throughout the last couple of weeks. It was really a bummer. And I got to tell you something, folks. It was a bummer for me. All right. You know, I've gone to court as many, John and I have been to court lots of times, but when it's personal, yeah, it's just sometimes it's a bummer and it takes a lot out of you. So anyway, John, thanks for holding over, brother.
No problem. Well, Doug, let's segue to, the election. We have a polling election that takes place the first Tuesday, November, 8 months away. And we need to keep encouraging all our listeners to make sure all the conservatives that they know are both registered to vote and actually go to the polls. Go to the polls this coming first Tuesday in November and vote for Donald Trump. Vote for conservative candidates all over the country. Make sure they, in these primaries, that they find a conservative, constitution-believing sheriff to support in their county. The New World Order is deathly afraid of sheriffs who support the Constitution. And that became very clear in Virginia a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
When 3 out of 4 sheriffs said, no, we're not going to go against our oath of office when you pass these anti-gun laws. And the liberals were shocked and dismayed that the sheriffs would not go along with violating their oath of office. And the sheriffs I know pretty much feel the same way, Doug. All over the country. And I've worked with many sheriffs over the past 40 years. You have also.
Yep.
And the overwhelming majority of them understand their oath of office, and they will support their oath of office to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And that includes anti-gun laws that they will work against actively and not enforce in their counties. The county sheriff in most of the 3,000-plus counties is the highest law enforcement official in that county. He can tell the FBI, he can tell the DEA, he can tell all those federal agencies to go take a hike if they want to come in his county and do something unconstitutional. That could have happened, it should have happened in Waco, Texas, but it didn't. It could have happened and should have happened at Ruby Ridge, Idaho, but it didn't. But the sheriffs I know would do the right thing for the right reasons and protect their citizens against unlawful conduct by federal agencies or state agencies as far as that goes. So getting back to the premise is make sure all your conservative friends, relatives, coworkers, people you go to church with are registered to vote and actually get out and vote. Do they need a ride next November? Do they need child care? Whatever it takes, help these people get to the polls and vote for President Trump and all the conservatives that are on the ballot. That is not optional, Doug. We can't take it for granted that we will take back the House.
No.
As I mentioned off air, I was at a Republican event, Lincoln Days, here in Crawford County, Missouri, my home. Our local Congressman, Jason Smith, he told us that we lost control of the House of Representatives by only 180,000 votes nationwide, turning over.
You told me that. That blew my mind. I'm sorry, but 180,000 across the United States?
That's it. Out of the tens of millions of people who could vote. And all those districts, President Trump won all those districts in 2016, which meant in 2018, the people who supported President Trump stayed home, and they didn't vote. Now, there's been criticism, and I'm one of the people, but I understand why. President Trump did not get much of his agenda passed between 2016 and 2018. The reason being the deep state and the swamp that he had to deal with. clearing out all those offices in the various agencies that he controls, clearing out the deep state people and putting patriots in there to take their place. That's largely responsible for the things that went on the first 2 years. But that's largely taken care of now. We're into the fourth year of President Trump's administration. He's got in the key positions, he's got patriots instead of deep state people. And if he can get control of the Congress again, you're going to see things happen the next 4 years following that. It'll make your head spin in very positive ways. But we need to win the House back. And, of course, we need to get the president reelected. And we need Constitution-supporting sheriffs in all these 3,000-plus counties. And we need, from top to bottom, left to right, Constitution-believing conservative candidates in every jurisdiction nationwide. Occasionally, there may be Democrats. There is such a thing as Constitution-believing Democrats. Those people do exist. It's mostly going to be Republicans, but in some cases, it may be Democrats. But that's what we need to do, Doug, is keep emphasizing. You and I are going to hopefully do this show every Monday between now and November. And we need to emphasize this every show to make sure that people don't neglect this very important thing.
You know, it really frosts my cake, though. I got to tell you this, okay? People who say, well, Donald Trump, he's a shoo-in for November. Absolutely, he's going to win. Don't worry about it. To me, that's saying, oh, you better worry about it, or you better do something about it. It's too...
There will be vote fraud, Doug.
Oh, there's...
That's a given.
Yeah.
Of course there'll be vote fraud. But they can only do vote fraud up to a certain percentage of the votes before it becomes obvious to everybody. So we need enough votes to overwhelm the vote fraud, which would be at least several million votes, minimum. So we can't take anything for granted.
Right.
The vote fraud will be there. We still have a very sincere effort to eliminate the Electoral College. We need to oppose that in any way that we can. That's mostly going to be a legislative matter, not something individuals can do much about. The Electoral College is there for one reason. That's to prevent us from becoming a democracy. That's the reason it's there, to prevent us from becoming a democracy.
That's right.
The Founding Fathers had no kind words for democracies because they know how they always end up. They end up in the dustbin of history because they spend themselves into oblivion, or they become a tyranny, or both. So that's the purpose of the Electoral College, is to stop us from becoming a democracy. We are not a democracy. We are a constitutional republic. And people need to, if they don't know that, they need to do their homework and figure that out. That's what we are, a constitutional republic. Not a constitutional democracy, a constitutional republic. And we need to keep emphasizing over and over again, make sure you register to vote. Make sure your friends and neighbors who are conservative register to vote. Make sure they get to the polls. If they have a conflict, that they vote absentee ballot to reelect not only Donald Trump, but to elect conservative congressmen, conservative senators, and conservative candidates nationwide, especially sheriffs.
You know, yeah, exactly. Eric the Tech, I don't know if you can do this on the fly, if you've got the time, or I don't even know if this is, if people really need to see this. And I can't remember if I sent this to you or not, but Project Veritas interviewed, or there was a undercover video of Project Veritas. Let me just see if I sent this to you. I don't think I did. John, I don't know whether you saw this or not.
I saw the video, the more recent one. Veritas was interviewing Bernie Sanders,
supporters,
staff members.
Yeah. And the question was, what's going to happen if Donald Trump wins? And the guy said, cities will burn. Okay. That was one. And I know they released like five or six.
Let's talk about who's going to burn them.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Now, would it be a fair statement, Doug, that the 82nd Airborne is probably really good at being activated and getting ready to get on airplanes and go pretty quickly? That would be a pretty fair statement, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but how
okay,
does,
now, okay. I have a direction I'm going here.
Okay.
Okay, it's 11, let's see, your time is 12:14 right now.
Okay, yeah.
1:14 your time. Okay, 1:14 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. If the 82nd Airborne got an alert right now, by 24 hours from now, they'd be ready to get on the planes and fly to some third world country and do what their assignment was.
Right.
The day Michael Brown died in Ferguson, a St. Louis suburb, convoys were leaving Chicago and Detroit for St. Louis and arriving before the end of the day, the same day. Something the 82nd Airborne can't even do. Now that shows a level of training, communication, discipline that is not even, that even the 82nd Airborne doesn't have. That's who's going to burn the cities. The Soros-funded, trained and equipped, organized protesters. And this is what will happen. And Project Veritas confirmed that by interviewing people who will be part of it. If you're drawing a paycheck from Bernie Sanders, you think the way Bernie Sanders thinks, you support the people Bernie Sanders supports, you're part of the people Bernie Sanders has with him. You're not adverse to the way he thinks, you're not adverse to the way his organization thinks, otherwise you wouldn't draw a paycheck, would you, Doug?
No, and you're exactly right. And the if you're looking for this, you go to Project Veritas website or on the hashtag Expose2020. Another Bernie 2020 field organizer, as we're talking about here. All straight up, get armed. I'm ready for the effing revolution. Guillotine the rich. Praises Soviet Union. Advocates sending all the Republicans to re-education camps. And you know, I spoke to Larry Grothwell so many times on and off air, and he infiltrated the Weather Underground. This is the Weather Underground crap, killing 25 million people if necessary, sending us to re-education camps. And here we are in 2020, and you know, this problem has infested this country, and by God, God is my witness. I'm here, and I know you are too, to stop this spread of this communist revolutionary crap that's going on. What a bunch of crap. You know, Sanders vacationing in Moscow, that video of him without a shirt or with a shirt too, extolling the virtues of public transportation in Moscow. What a bunch of, I'm peeved. My cakes are frosted. So, I mean, I don't know. And if Bernie Sanders doesn't get on the ticket too in Milwaukee, would they say Milwaukee's going to burn?
Right.
What are we going to do about this? I mean, what can we do about this? What can you and I do about this? Or the viewers and listeners, what can they do about it?
Well, what I advocate is people have a safe haven to go to. Most people are going to continue their comfortable urban, suburban life in congested urban, suburban areas. That's the areas at risk. Private source told me yesterday that Los Angeles is at greater risk than we know. People in greater Los Angeles area, I think, would be well advised to be on alert for something happening and have a plan A and a plan B. I would say plan A would be to leave the area, go to a safe haven 50 miles plus away from Los Angeles. Plan B would be, if they cannot do that, to shelter in place with water and food, a way to defend themselves, a way to put out fires, hopefully be part of a community that will come together and defend a small community from whatever's taking place. Los Angeles, I think, is at great risk right now, Doug, for a number of reasons. We've seen trouble there in the recent past, and it's high on the list of a place for trouble to begin again.
It's kind of marked for chaos, right? I mean, regardless of what it is, people get tired of hearing me say that, but it's marked for chaos. Isn't that what we're looking at? I mean, I'm looking at, let's burn the place down. Whether it's Antifa, whatever. It's chaos is what we're looking at, I believe.
Absolutely. Well, people need to be prepared in advance. And those who aren't will pay the price. People who didn't have a stock of toilet paper, now they can't get it. People who didn't have a stock of soap, now they can't get it. That's reality. I'm not sure I offer Berkey water filters for sale at my website, before the end of the business day, I'll find out if I can even take orders. I'm not sure I can. We may be past that point for months into the future. I don't know.
Isn't that interesting, John, that, again, the first hour you were talking about, COVID-19 versus the flu, what was known as the normal flu. And you see this, despite the numbers, you see this rush for toilet paper and wipes and water filters, food, freeze-dried food. I don't know. That's why prevention prevents panic. Three P's, prevention prevents panic. Not that it's bad for you necessarily, or, the Berkey company, but man, I don't know. It's just, I'm looking at this chaos is what I'm seeing.
Right. Well, we're seeing media-driven hysteria is what we're seeing, and that's going to go on for weeks, possibly months, before that part of what we're dealing with is finished.
Right.
In the meantime, it causes great harm to our economy. And I'm of the opinion, and my opinion is shared by some experts, my friend Jeff Nyquist, who's with my guest the second hour every Wednesday. He's personally interviewed a number of high-level Russian defectors, people who worked for the KGB.
Oh, yeah.
And he knows firsthand by debriefing these men what the long-term goals of the communists are. And what's taking place right now fits hand in glove with the long-term goals of the international communist conspiracy. It does.
Yep.
And when you see the media-driven hysteria originating from the People's Republic of China, it's time to sit back and say, is this real? Is this genuine? Or is it something generated by the People's Republic of China as propaganda to create the media-driven hysteria that we're seeing right now? I have not seen, and I need to repeat myself, I've not seen independent confirmation of these videos coming out of China as being real. We're taking them at face value as being real, which they may be, which they may not be, but in the absence of third-party independent confirmation, we can't take it at face value. We simply can't. It's too important.
Though. And that's the thing. Regardless of what the information is about, anything coming from a communist country, you can't depend on the information coming, anything coming out of North Korea. I mean, North Korea, for crying out loud, look at what they feed their people in terms of information and news. And look at, it's almost laughable. Remember Baghdad Bob, folks, okay? No one's bombing here, and you're seeing things. It's just ridiculous. So you're exactly right in this. And I call you the evidence man in addition to your well-known title as the Liberty Man. But we have to demand evidence, I think, in this respect from what we're seeing, because without evidence, we can't really make informed decisions. Now, we obviously, regardless of the we need to prepare because preparation prevents panic, but we need, regardless of what that is, but we need to assess the legitimacy of the information we're hearing. And you know what? Yeah. John, I got to tell you something. That's why your program does so well. I think people are looking for that. They're not looking for hype. They're not looking for, twisted, agendized. Is that a word? Agendized? I don't know. It is now. Headlines. They're looking for information that'll help them. And that's what you give. And I applaud you for that. Jeff Nyquist, by the way, every Wednesday, that's really a good hour or a good segment, good program. They're all good programs, but that specifically is good. Anyway, the World Health Organization, going back to what we said the first hour, Diana West had, I retweeted out on my personal Twitter, Diana West had mentioned about the World Health Organization, the leadership there being, of course, steeped in communism, going back to the 40s and 50s and such, going back a long time, and mentioned about the red thread, the communist thread, and, of course, her work with the communist agenda against President Trump in the senior leadership levels of the Obama regime. So it all connects. I'll shut up now.
Well, let's talk about the power of television.
Yes.
I'm going to do a little jingle and ask you to finish it. See the USA in your...
Oh, man. You caught me flat-footed here.
See the USA in your...
Pajamas. Man, help me out,
Chevrolet.
Brother. Chevrolet. Thank you. All right.
Okay. Well, everybody else got it, even if you didn't.
I know you did. Oh. I was busy watching Petticoat Junction. I'm sorry.
That's fine. Between 1969 and 1976, there was a TV show. An actor named Robert Young played a doctor named Marcus Welby.
Yeah, I know this.
Name
okay.
of the TV.
Yep.
Marcus Welby, M.D.
Yep.
Name of the show. The Power of TV. This actor, pretending to be a doctor, got several hundred letters a week from people asking for medical advice. Now, these are the about 40% of the people in this country, approaching 50%, can't write a letter because they're either literate, illiterate, or semi-literate. So these letters were coming from people who were literate, asking for medical advice from an actor pretending to be a doctor. That's the power of television. That's the power of TV.
Oh,
that is still with us, if not more so. If not more so.
That's frightening. It's sorry.
Well, it's reality.
Yeah.
It's reality. And I did that jingle. We did not plan this in advance, but almost everybody in your demographics finished a jingle by saying Chevrolet.
I'm sure of it.
I caught you flat-footed, but...
I should have known that anyway.
Well, of course you should have, but I've done this in public appearances, and I do about 10 of these jingles in a row that people have not heard for half a century, and the audience finishes the jingles.
Sure.
Even though they haven't heard that jingle for half a century. That's the power of TV.
Yes.
And listen carefully. Everything you've ever seen, heard, tasted, or touched since that doctor held little Doug Hagman upside down and smacked your bare bottom is still in your brain. Everything.
True.
Everything. And the power of TV is almost beyond belief. And that's what's driving this. The media-driven hysteria on television is what's driving this. If it's on TV, it's real. You still see the stickers. You go to your local discount store, you'll see stickers on various products as seen on TV.
Yes.
That gives it veracity. That gives it authenticity. That makes it something important and something worthwhile as seen on TV. Otherwise, those stickers wouldn't be on there, Doug.
But it's all an illusion. It's an illusion. I mean, this is
precisely.
Yeah. Oh, man. You know, you're right about it. And as TV or as, you know, the 4K or what is it? The smart TVs and all this and the increases in technology. It's going to become even more believable in, as well as the individual, the people out there, their knowledge and their education and their literacy and their comprehension goes down and the TV goes up. The
technology is breathtaking. The movie, which has been out now quite a while, Forrest Gump, according to the technical people I've talked to, I have a relative who, was in the video business, and he still is, in Metro St. Louis, a member of the various associations and so forth concerned with video. He says, John, they were holding back on Forrest Gump. Now, that movie came out, almost 20 years ago? It looked like Forrest Gump was in the same room with President Kennedy, and they were holding back what they were capable of even 20 years ago. From what I'm reading, Doug, they can make brand-new John Wayne movies, and you cannot tell the difference between a real John Wayne and one created with the computer technology that we now have. This all goes back to what's coming out of China. You can't trust it. You simply cannot trust it. And to do so without independent third-party verification is foolish.
Right. And that's true. I mean, we've seen multiple instances of exactly what you're talking about. You know, where we can't even believe our own eyes when we're looking at something, you know, on television or three, even on social media, it's difficult. And you know what bothers me too? Despite that, John, you've got these fact checkers, you know, who will say, no, this is fake, this is real. Well, we can't really trust them either. So who in the hell do you trust, man?
Forrest Gump was made 25 years ago, 1994. It was released in 1994, which means it was made in 1993, 26 years ago.
Yep. 27, but yeah. Roughly.
Right. Yeah, well, regardless, video technology has become so sophisticated. I watched the recent film about the World War II film about a sea battle in World War II, and included the attack on Pearl Harbor. I felt like I was there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's obviously computer-generated images, but I felt like I was in Pearl Harbor watching the attack firsthand. That's how real these images have become. You can't trust it, Doug. And of course, China has all the latest and greatest technology when it comes to anything associated with video. They manufacture this stuff. Of course they do. They've got high-level technicians that can make a video appear to be anything they choose it to be. Of course they can. So we're seeing decisions of high-level politicians, healthcare professionals, the public in general, making very serious decisions based on what might be a complete fabrication coming out of China.
True.
It may very well be a complete fabrication. We simply don't know because we can't verify it one way or the other.
Have you given any thought or consideration in a couple of things? The role of the censorship role, and maybe that's not the right way of saying it, but social media, you know, the tech giants, you know, I'll say censoring because that's what comes to mind, you know, keeping the truth from the American people. Of course, you talk about the virus, coronavirus or COVID-19. You type that into a YouTube search engine. What comes up underneath just about every video is you better check with the CDC or the WHO or whatever it is, wherever it directs you to for not fake but real information. So censorship and redirection into what they want you to see, number one, and number two, the technological advances, and we can, this is a different subject, of 5G perhaps and all the implications that are in, but hitting it on the, or wherever you want to go. I mean, either one.
Well, you brought up an interesting point. People's Republic of China is a command economy controlled absolutely by Chinese communists.
Yep.
The videos that we've all seen would not have been released if they did not have the consent of the people in charge. China routinely censors anything that makes them look bad. They do that routinely.
Right.
That's just simply standard operating procedure. If it makes something in China, it doesn't matter how minor, if it makes something look bad in China, the public never sees it outside of China, and most of the people in China never see it, which leads to another question. In this kind of total control communist country, how did these videos get released in the first place?
That's a good question.
How did they? Because that doesn't happen. If you're caught with illegal drugs in China, they execute you. If you're caught with a unregistered firearm in China, you go to jail for a really, really long time. They control the what's called social media in China. It's very carefully controlled.
Right.
That's something I haven't really thought about until just this moment, but it needs to be thought about, and that's the absolute lockdown of control that the People's Republic of China exercises on any internet video coming out of that country. And to see these videos come out time and time again certainly bears looking into. Not that you can. It's a closed society. You can't look into it. You can't get independent confirmation. We've got unnamed Chinese people doing things in front of video cameras. We don't know who these people are. We will never know who these people are because there's no independent third-party confirmation. Now, good journalism, you and I are both broadcast journalists. You give them the names of the people involved, the date that is taking place, the location is taking place. That's just good journalism. With the exception of the date and the general city, no specific street address, we don't know the people involved because that's not given. We don't know the exact location because no street address is given. You can't fact check unless you got a street address to go back to, can you? Mm-hmm. So they show an apartment building with the doors being welded shut, but they don't give the address of that apartment building. So independent researchers can't go back there and say, oh, well, here's where the doors welded shut. Can't do that.
Yeah, and you wouldn't have independent researchers available to do that in that closed setting. So I agree, yeah. All right. So, yeah, but on the other hand, I've got, a Friday guest, Ted Brower, who is in contact with somebody in China. Now that he's known this.
I was Ted's house guest a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And he has a friend, in China that he hasn't heard from for a while, I believe, isn't it?
Well, he's heard, now when you say in a while, I don't know what you define as a while, but
when I talked to Ted, communication was cut off with his friend, unless it's recommenced.
I'm not sure, but the last I knew, he said things, the friend from China said things are pretty bad. Wuhan looked like a ghost town. Now, again, that was, I don't know, 2 weeks ago maybe, but, you know.
That's what the friend told him in the last report before the friend's communication.
Okay. All right.
What's cut off. And Ted was very concerned about his friend as well. He should have been.
Sure. But I would take that communication as far over anything I would see on Twitter or Facebook or on the internet. If I knew the person for 25 years or over 20 years, you know, and he said that to me, yeah, I'd be really concerned about that and the observations. But, you know, again, you're right.
And we don't know if the friend is observing something taking place of its own natural course of events or if it's a contrived event.
That's very true. And you know, boy, I can't imagine China exploiting something like this to lock down and, really run roughshod over their citizens. I couldn't believe they'd do that.
They will do that to accomplish their goal.
Of course they will.
These are the same people who murdered 50 million people of their own people to accomplish their goal.
Yep. Yep.
To suffer some relatively, given the size of their economy, to suffer some relatively minor economic downturns compared to their overall situation. Yeah, they'll do that. And they'll bounce back. And they probably made provisions that critical for their national security, were not at risk. Things they really needed were not at risk, and prepared to suffer a temporary economic downturn in order to destroy the economy of the West. If it accomplishes their goal for them, that's worth paying that price.
That's very true. And I would say that of all totalitarian regimes, or Iran included, obviously for different reasons, but yeah, okay. Now I got to ask you before I forget, and I apologize for this being kind of random, but we talked about the elections from 2020, you know, the Democratic National Committee, the convention's coming up, I think in July, right? Yeah. In Milwaukee.
Right.
John, I gotta tell you, I got the weirdest feeling about this. There's something wrong with Biden. And look, you know, I feel sorry if there is. I think medically or psychically, you know, whatever. I think there's something wrong with Joe Biden. I also believe he's got a lot of baggage from Ukraine and elsewhere. There's also something else going on that I don't have evidence there about, but I've heard about this and I'm just gonna put it aside. But anyway, so Biden's kind of compromised in a sense. Sanders is just 100% socialist/communist and not really liked by the DNC as it is. Who do you think is going to be on the ticket, man? I got to ask you, because I got my own feelings, and I think Hillary's going to show her ugly face somehow, some way, in some fashion. That's just my view, but I don't know.
Well, first of all, the Democrats are scared to death that Bernie would get the nomination. They know he would lose, but they're afraid of the consequences down line, what's called down line, of the men and women running for Congress and Senate and of course, state positions as well, and that they would lose nationwide.
Yeah.
So they're scared to death of Bernie Sanders for that reason. Joe Biden has some serious issues, health issues, cognitive issues. If he was elected, somebody like Valerie Jarrett would actually be running the country.
Yep.
Hillary may come in at the last moment as a compromise candidate. We cannot take that off the table. The Wicked Witch of the West. In fact, the morning after the election in 2016, I played that song from The Wizard of Oz about the Wicked Witch of the West. ding dong, the witch is dead.
Yeah.
I couldn't resist. So I agree with you, Doug. What's coming out of this thing in Milwaukee in just a few months away? So we've got what's left in March. We got April, May, June, you know, basically 4 months away to the July convention. There's a lot on the table. Joe Biden has no business being president of anything. He really doesn't. He does not have the cognitive ability, let alone the politics.
He's running for senator, and he's got hairy legs. And he talks about the thing. You know, thing.
Bernie Sanders has a heart condition.
Yeah.
And you know, the pressure, the workload for that position is off the charts crazy if you're actually going to do the work as opposed to having Valerie Jarrett do the work for you. Hillary may end up being a compromise candidate. That certainly would happen. I would love to see Bernie be the candidate because there could not be a greater disparity between two candidates, Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders.
That's true.
The president will do quite well against Joe Biden. He'll do quite well against Hillary. I don't see anybody else who has even a remote possibility of being the presidential candidate for the Democrats. Do you?
No, I don't. Has this ever happened before in recent history where there's such an obvious lopsidedness? Now, that's not to dismiss the voter fraud and other, but I mean, there's this not only ideological divide, but a lopsidedness with respect to popularity. That's just my view. I don't know. Have you seen anything like this before in recent history?
Not that I can think of. Going back, the first election I was aware of was when Adlai Stevenson ran against President Eisenhower. And I was a young man, and I recall something that really confused me at the time, where the newspapers were saying, Adlai Stevenson is too intellectual to be elected president of the United States, which I would have been, 9 years old, and it didn't make any sense to me how you could possibly be too intellectual to be president of the United States, but I understand it now, because the people can't relate to that level of intellect. But he was relatively unknown, and didn't have the popularity of General Eisenhower, of course. And that's the most recent one I can think of, Doug.
Right, yeah. And you know, there's something to be said about that. And that's an interesting observation. And it's interesting to me that you remember that, because isn't this kind of, to some extent, what we're seeing with Donald Trump, where he's a to me, okay, and this is my characterization, he's a man of the people. He speaks his mind. He really doesn't care about the filter, if he has one or doesn't. He just said, you know, she's evil, or she's an idiot, he's a moron, whatever it might be. But he talks, and he's like one of us. He's not a politician.
Well, I spent 3 days as a house guest of a woman who was the campaign manager for three different presidential campaigns and two of her advisors. Her name is not public. The candidates always sign a non-disclosure agreement, and they put somebody else up front as the campaign chair. But what these three people were talking about relates to this, how most modern candidates intentionally segue between the way they normally talk in private with friends and business associates and how they talk in public when they're in front of a microphone. Using the vocabulary, the cadence, the verbiage that they normally use among with friends and family and business associates in private, and using an entirely different cadence and vocabulary word structure, sentence structure when they're in front of a microphone talking to the public.
That's right.
They all have professional training to do that these days. Now, Donald Trump may be an exception because I don't believe anybody can control the man. and the same campaign chairperson, she told me she didn't like Donald Trump. She was going to vote against him if the opportunity came. But once he became the candidate, she went ahead and voted for him. But in the primaries, when there were 16 candidates, she did not support the man. Because he appeared to be an outlier, uncontrollable, rough character who did speak his mind.
Yeah.
And that's exactly who the man is. And it's very refreshing to have the man, in there doing what he does.
You know, it brings me back to the days where, and even sometimes today where the crowds chant, "Lock her up," reference to Hillary Clinton, or "Lock him up," reference to Joe Biden. And I just, you know, I'm wondering, John, we've got a two-tier justice system. However, I see some, potential here for good things to happen. But anyway, there's some investigation into Biden, Hunter and Joe Biden. But, you know, beyond that, that's the popularity behind him. I mean, people want us, by the way, people want to see justice. I want to see him locked up, Hillary locked up, after conviction, of course, for emails. Yeah, I don't know. It's just back to you.
Along those regards, I met General Flynn's brother at a fundraiser in Dallas a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. I met and talked to his current attorney, Sidney Powell, and talked to her one-on-one for an hour.
She's great, by the way.
She's a brilliant woman, former U.S. attorney herself.
Yep.
And she's turned around everything when it comes to Michael Flynn. The Attorney General Barr has appointed a new Attorney General out of St. Louis, by the way, my hometown, a new district attorney, to look into everything from day one when it comes to General Flynn. And I think it's headed towards a complete exoneration. That's where I think it's headed. And a real kick in it. And I probably could get word to President Trump. I have connections, I could do that. But what a kick in the teeth it would be to the Democrats to put Michael Flynn back in as initially deputy, deputy in charge of intelligence.
Sure.
And then after a few months, make him once again the advisor for intelligence.
Yeah, national security advisor.
Security advisor, just like he was initially. What a kick in the teeth that would be. Complete exoneration. Put him back where he was 4 years ago before they entrapped him with non-crimes. And that would be the ultimate kick in the teeth when it comes to General Flynn, wouldn't it be?
It would be. And I say, why not? And let's make sure it gets done. But I know Sidney Powell, you know, she wrote the book License to Lie, and I've read that book, and it's a mind blower. But that said, I believe, Lieutenant General Flynn, I think that if anyone can get justice for him, I think it's Sidney Powell. And, how did you,
Let's head that direction. Say again.
No, your conversations with Sidney Powell.
We were both speakers at an event in Dallas.
Right.
And I had the opportunity to talk to her for an hour, and I took it. What General Flynn did was write a book during the Obama administration where he basically said, you can't help to engage and defeat your enemy if you're not allowed to name your enemy. Of course, that enemy being Islam.
Right.
And that was the beginning point of him becoming enemy number one of the Obama administration. And they knew who this man was. They knew that if he was director of intelligence, national security advisor under President Trump, that he would do everything he could to defeat our true enemy, which is Islam. And they went after him with a vengeance. He was the first guy they really went after.
Let me ask you a question, because along with Lieutenant General Flynn, I don't know, and I haven't asked you this on or off air before, but did you know Philip Haney, who was recently found dead with a shotgun or with a gunshot wound, supposed suicide, and Phil Haney, of course, was a whistleblower insider with the Department of Homeland Security and under Obama, and same thing as Lieutenant General Flynn, saying, look, we've been infiltrated by this Islamic component under Obama, and DHS has been compromised, and all these other agencies have been compromised. Did you know Phil Haney?
I did not know Mr. Haney. I'm aware of the incident you're talking about and his information, but I did not know the man.
You know, he was a, I got to tell you, John, he provided information to us, to me off air. I don't accept the fact that he committed suicide. I see this as a very dangerous time for whistleblowers, true whistleblowers and true sources. Man, I can understand why they're not, you know, leading off with their names and, you know, out front with their names and such. But the long arm of the deep state still has some reach.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's foolish to believe otherwise. Yeah. Did this gentleman shoot himself twice in the back?
No. Once in the front. And, you know, Glenn Beck talked about this. He always wore flash drive or thumb drive around his neck on a chain. And there's been no word as to whether that was found on his person, on his body. So, you know, it's just people, this is not a game. None of this is a game. I mean, our republic is at stake. And John, you fight every day for it. And, as do I, you know. We got about 8 minutes before we close. I'm just going to turn it over to you. Whatever you want. I mean, this has been so enjoyable, by the way. I've missed this, so thank you for your
time. I miss it too, Doug. It's good to be back with you. We need to remember the basics. First of all, our country and our Christian heritage is at stake. Ultimately, it's a spiritual war. You know, beans and bullets and bandages, they all count. They all mean something. But ultimately, it's a spiritual war. To believe anything else is foolish. I have many Catholic friends who are very distressed over this Catholic Pope who wants to merge Islam into Christianity. Very dangerous stuff. Very dangerous. We have public schools doing things that are very dangerous for our children. We have a food supply that is contaminated with all kinds of things that are harmful to human beings and being promoted as being healthy for human beings, such as diet soda, for example. So people need to remember the basics. This is a spiritual war. They need to conduct their own research, come to their own conclusions. And ultimately, they need to have a safe haven for themselves, the people they care about, away from these densely populated urban and suburban areas. At some point, I have every reason to believe they will become death traps, these densely populated urban suburban areas. A hobby farm, a good distance from these cities, at a good elevation, because of other reasons, the violent earth change is coming.
Sure.
We have all the water you need, a place to grow food, neighbors nearby that will look after each other, and all the things necessary to have a healthy, balanced life in the country. Most people won't do that. They're looking for a date when once they have that date, then they'll abandon their urban suburban life and then they'll start their hobby farm. That's a prescription for disaster. The federal government has already been making their plans since 1979 to deal with these various crises, and their plans are already in place and pretty much finished in terms of sheltering for continuity of government and so forth in Denver, Atlanta, and in other places. And individuals have limited resources. It doesn't mean you can't do it. It means you have to be more diligent and be more creative in how you accomplish that. So
yeah.
I want to encourage people to do so, Doug. That's what I encourage.
Well, you know, I thank you, by the way. Your program, folks, John, your radio program, tell people how to listen.
Well, everything's linked from my website at thelibertyman.com. You can listen live several different ways.
Right.
We have archives at Republic Broadcasting. We have YouTube archives. I believe we're also on Brighteon now. So there are many different ways to listen live and listen to archives. And my show broadcasts Monday through Friday. That would be at 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 to 10 Central, and so forth for the other time zones. And it's a live call-in show with regular guests Monday through Friday. And it's a lot of fun. You can learn a lot. I've helped many thousands of people with things in their life, health-related things, medical-related things, preparedness-related matters. And I enjoy it, and my listeners enjoy it, and I encourage people to listen.
Yeah, indeed. I like it. I listen to it on archive, and I really appreciate you, and I appreciate the topics that you cover, the guests that you have on, and I appreciate you coming on this show. So we're about out of time, my friend. So I thank you so very much.
Thank you, Doug. It's always fun. And next week will be a whole different story in some respects.
I'll tell you what, a lot's going to happen, I think, between now and next Monday, and I can't wait to talk to you about it.
No doubt.
All right, brother. Take care of yourself. All right. Folks, that was John Moore. John Moore, the Liberty Man. John Moore. And I would urge everyone, seriously, go to thelibertyman.com and to bookmark that website because it's all about John Moore. It's right there. Hey, right there. As I like to do, because all I can see is green here. I see the cold fronts moving in from the west, high pressure system coming down from. All right, yeah, it didn't land. I know it didn't land. Eric the Tech has got the virus, right? Eric the Tech, he's over there going, "I hate you."
Yep, I'm dying.
I'm telling you, man, quarantine for you. But, you know, again, looking at this whole thing, and folks, you might say, wait a minute. I thought you were saying that the virus is like the thing. It's a thing. It's a thing. And I do believe that's, look, I can't verify this, but I believe it was manufactured or man-made. I think it was created in a lab. I think there was enough anecdotal, maybe not direct, but anecdotal evidence to show that. And, you know, the two types, the S and L strain that we know about. And of course, yes, viruses, tend to, change. What's that word? Mutate. Thank you. In my head, I was thinking mitigate, but no, they tend to mutate, which is why you can't really vaccine for the flu. It's more than a crapshoot. But anyway, so what I'm saying is, without respect to all of that, look at what's happening today. Look at what we're seeing or being led to see. And maybe being led is something that maybe we should take a better look at or a harder look at. When I say being led, are we being led into a cashless society, for example, because our money is so dirty that we can't even launder it? So it's going to have to be digital currency and ultimately in a form of a chip. Is this, that's a question. I don't know. How about, gee whiz. How about dealing a death blow to the medical, 1/20 or 1/5 of our economy by overwhelming the medical system? Remember Cloward Piven's strategy. To destroy something, you overwhelm it. What's going to happen with our medical system if we run out of beds? It's overwhelming. Are all these new world order or one world order, one world government, whatever you want to call it, are they the strategies that are leading us to this end game? So to answer your question, does it really matter unless you are one of the people infected and if this specific coronavirus is in fact going to kill you? Chaos. Chaos is not a pit. Chaos is a ladder. It's from the Game of Thrones. That's what we're dealing with now. Folks, I want to thank you so very much for your trusting me, entrusting me, and letting me talk with you and being part of your life for 2 hours a day. May God bless each and every one of you. Tomorrow, Stan Deo. Wednesday, Dr. Richard Proctor. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Rhonda. Thank you, Eric the Tech. See you later.